Inside the Game, brought to you by Raider Media.
Welcome to Inside the Game, brought to you by Raider Media, the special Dakar Rally Edition. Six stages done, six to go, and we are at the rest day here in the beautiful city of Riyadh. And we're going to change tack slightly because I'm currently at the bivouac here in Riyadh, where all the mechanics, the crew, everyone is working on the four Toyota Hilux vehicles of Toyota Gazoo Racing as they prepare themselves for the second and final week here at Dakar. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk around the bivouac and chat to some of the key players that are involved with this massive event, and to underline exactly why it isn't a rest day. And I'm here with Voldu van der Val, who joined me last night. But Voldu, you have a lot more duties this time around here at this bivouac. Ordinarily, it would just be a press engagement, but that's not quite the case this time around because, you managed to put this whole thing together.
It's like herding cats, I tell you, Derek. The racing drivers are the world's worst. The only thing that they can do well is race a car. Everything else is a bit of a mess. You know, you tell them to be at a certain place at a certain time. One is here, one's gone off somewhere else, and the other one's no one knows where. But eventually, hopefully, and at the moment we're looking at it all coming together, they are here, they're doing interviews, they're doing stuff with Red Bull TV. We've got a press call in 20 minutes. So, I'm not letting the cats out of my sight for the moment.
Yeah, you speak about the Red Bull TV interview. As we stand, we've got Janiel de Villiers, Nasser Al-Attiyah, Bernard Ten Brunker, and Fernando Alonso all seated in a semicircle being interviewed by Red Bull TV, which will air pretty soon, I'm sure. And we've got a whole bunch of people very interested in what they've got to say, because it's not often where you get four drivers of this caliber gathered together in one space to give their thoughts about the world's toughest race.
You know, that's the nice thing about Dakar still, and cross-country racing in general, is it's one of the most accessible types of motorsport, where people can actually wander through the bivouac and see these heroes or these legends sitting down chatting with the TV cameras. That's what makes this sport special. You know, it's more accessible than most. Certainly, you couldn't do this in a Formula One paddock.
Pretty cool for us is that we've got the press call at around 12, then I think we're done for the day. We get to an opportunity to go and have a look around Riyadh, I think. Is that our plan for today?
That's very much a plan. Someone spotted a very big electronics store, and anybody that knows me knows that electronics draw me a lot more than pornography. So I can't wait to get there and see what Riyadh has to offer in terms of electronics.
Okay, we're edging closer to 12 o'clock. What are your duties now until then? You've got to watch over these guys and make sure that they get all their interviews done and dusted.
Yeah, I'll keep the cats in a row and then get them to do their press call interviews at 12 o'clock. And then, like you say, we're wrapped for the day.
Okay, well, thank you, Voldo. I'll let you get back to it. I'll see you a little later as we go hunt those electronic stores. I'm going to chat to my business partner, Raymond Habs. We haven't heard much from him because he's been burning the candle at both ends throughout the last couple of days, putting the magnificent TV show together that you can catch on SuperSport. I'm not blowing my own horn because I've got very little to do with it. I might have a voice and a face in it, but all the hard work's done by Raymond. How are you enjoying it?
Yeah, another good Dakar. And yes, as always, it's relentless. We look again and we are 7 days into it. We're 10 days out of the 17, actually. And that's exactly how it goes. You blink, and you're halfway through. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing we can complain about this year. We've had a great host in Saudi Arabia. The facilities have been good. The highways have been even better. And, the racing's been pretty good. A little bit disappointed for our team, as we are not used to these conditions, so let's hope the next half of this brings more excitement for us.
Yeah, certainly so. And just talk us through not our day, more so yours, in terms of putting the show together. We've all got our specific roles when it comes to putting this beast into action. And yeah, we drive throughout the day, then we get to the bivouac, usually, where we conduct the interviews with the drivers, and then really our work only starts.
This year I've adopted a new technique. In South America, I was always just too scared to take my eyes off the road, because at any moment we were dodging traffic, animals, people, and you couldn't really relax. So this year I just made sure I get a couple of hours sleep. We get back to the hotel, first get to the biv, we shoot everything we possibly can in case, and whatever we can find around the bivouac with the race drivers and the co-drivers and some of the technicians, and then we head to the hotel or wherever we can find. Used to be sometimes at the back of Fortuna. We spend the next 10, sometimes 11, 12 hours editing the show. That pushes us sometimes to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, we've been really lucky. There's been great hotels, so internet's not an issue this time. We upload the show and get the confirmation from Supersport, and then we get in the car and start driving, and that's when I rinse and repeat and start sleeping again. So that's the basic of my day.
Well, you've done a superb job. I'll let you carry on working. I'll catch you later, Ray. Let's walk around the bivouac. Let's see who else we've got hanging around. We've got Bernard ten Brinker. I'm going to interrupt you for 2 seconds. Sorry, gents. Bernard, you are without doubt one of the most popular faces at the Dakar. Without a doubt, one of the most popular faces for Toyota Gazoo. Sorry to interrupt, but... yeah, it's a rest day of sorts. You just finished your interview. How are you enjoying the first week of Dakar?
Yeah, the first week of Dakar was very good. I think we start very very fast, and all the four Toyotas were performing very well. And I think we all did a great job. Especially, of course, NASA did very good. Janiel. A stage win. Fernando, he pushed himself a couple of times in the first five positions. And for us, we were stable from the first day we were P5 till the last day now before the rest day, P7. And yeah, we are P8 overall. Not very big mistakes, some small issues because I had a flu. But overall, I'm very happy to be on the rest day. For me, it's a rest day, but for the mechanics, they work very hard now. It's unbelievable.
Man, we've traveled a couple of Dakars together. I think this is our third together. It's your third year with Toyota Gazoo Racing. The first two was over in South America. We really enjoyed that, but I mean, this is a different world.
This is a different world. To be honest, South America was very nice and good atmosphere, but here in the Middle East, it's something different, but... to be honest, I like it. It is a good atmosphere. We miss a little bit of the people on the track. That was in South America a little bit more than here. But I think this is only the first year. I think next year should be more people around. But look, the stages are very, very impressive. You see, you have some views. It's amazing. You cannot believe it, what you see. And rocks, mountains, everything. It's very special.
Best of luck for the second week of Dakar.
Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. Bernard ten Brinker, he's readying himself for the next week. I'm going to jump in here with Arnu from Red Bull because he plays a massive part of the Toyota Gazoo Racing stable. We just saw the Red Bull TV interview. Now, Arnu, how are you enjoying being in Saudi Arabia? Firstly, thanks for joining us. I mean, we traveled the length and breadth of South America together this time around in Saudi. Enjoying it?
Yes, enjoying so far. It's a little bit colder than what we used to, especially at night in the bivouac for all the mechanics and all the guys working here. Otherwise, I mean, landscape is amazing. The footage we have seen is so far quite impressive. And I would say I think the boys are also enjoying it driving. And we'll see what the second week has to offer.
Tell us about the Red Bull story, because it's tremendous. The fact that you've managed to work your way into sports throughout the world, specifically when it comes to this extreme game. And we've got the Red Bull Desert Wings that are synonymous with the Dakar. You've got a team of role players that are massive, the likes of Janiel De Villiers, Nasser Latia. Is it hard to manage?
That's not easier, but that's a pleasure to manage. And I mean, those guys are very professional, very competitive. And also, not to mention Stefan and Carlos, they are the four of them offering a great battle at the front of the race. So far, so good.
And the logistics-wise, from your side, I mean, you manage a massive team. Never mind the drivers and navigators, etc. But I mean, you've got a massive fleet on the ground that make the show go happen.
Yeah, I mean, on the sportive side, riders and on the motorbike and driver and cars and trucks, that's 20. Plus the co-drivers, the mechanics, and on the ground we are a team of also 20 people, including reporter, photographer, try to bring the story across, so and get the people to see and to listen what's going to happen here.
Lovely. Enjoy the second half of the race.
Thank you.
We're going to catch up with Janiel De Villiers. Now, I saw Hannes Visser close to him. If you ever want to find Janiel, you just look for Hannes. Hilly, we chatted to you a little earlier, but my battery's died, so let's try it again. Tell us about the so-called rest day.
Well, yeah, I mean, a well-deserved rest day for everybody. Everybody needs it. You know, it was quite a hard first week on the race, and you guys are all, you know, basically rebuilding the cars, servicing them, and... you know, they've got the biggest job today, the mechanics, and the engineers, you know, and we get a bit of a rest. You know, it's been a little bit of a frustrating first week for us, you know, except for our stage one on stage two, which was great. We've been slightly off the pace, so, you know, hopefully we can correct that and come back stronger in the second week. So we'll try and do our best.
Tell us about that first week. I think a few people surprised at how well the Minis are doing out there. But can Toyota Gazoo bounce back well in the second? We do have, what's it, the value of the unknown, or the unknown quarter?
Empty, yeah, quarter.
Look, I mean, Dakar is never over until it's over, you know. I've been, I've done this race quite a few times, and you know, it's, you have to get to the finish. So a lot of things can still happen. So we'll push as hard as we can. Certainly, the Mini buggy specifically has been very, very quick. In the Saudi desert, you know, it's quite open desert, so it does definitely suit the two-wheel drive, which has got more suspension and is a lot lighter than the four-wheel drive. So. You know, we hope for a little bit more technical stages and more difficult dunes to see if we can get a bit closer. It is what it is. But they certainly had a very good first week, so hopefully we can bounce back in the second week.
How many Dakars have you done? Do you know?
This is number 17.
And how are you enjoying Saudi Arabia? You've done plenty in Africa, 10 in South America, and now this.
Yeah, so far it's been really good. I think everybody's been surprised at the, you know, the beauty of the country, and you know, everywhere we've been, there's been some spectacular scenery. The people have been very friendly, and you know, we were very well received here, and the race has been great so far. So, you know, all in all, a really, really great Dakar so far.
Oh, the press are all waiting in bated breath to catch up with you, Hilly. So I'm going to let you get onto it, and then enjoy your rest afternoon.
Thanks a million.
Okay, we've just had Fernando Alonso walk out now. Now, you must see the plethora of people coming out. We have so, so many people arriving to catch a glimpse of Fernando Alonso. And most of it's in Spanish. Got his manager here, who's been enjoying life. What's it like managing Fernando?
Well, it's quite easy.
But is it?
Yeah.
Why?
He used to do everything, so really nice to share this adventure with him, and let's see what we can do in the second week.
What amazes me is that Fernando, the camera really loves him, and he can come out of the car after 600 kilometers of intense racing, and as soon as that camera goes on, he's got a massive smile on his face, adores the camera, and he's great with the media.
Well, it means that he's enjoying this Dakar, and probably he knows from these last 20 years how to manage these seconds just after removing the helmet and have all these cameras around.
How are you enjoying the Dakar?
For sure. First adventure, but hopefully not the last one. And the scenarios and the atmosphere here in the bivouac and with all the teammates is amazing.
Lovely. Enjoy. We'll see you later. As we wait with the media horde, Ben Constantadouros, who's been joining us throughout the trip so far. Quite lucky being out here by the bivouac on the so-called rest day.
It's nice to spend some time just chilling in the bivouac and speaking to friends and no one having to rush off everywhere and go to different places. And you can see the media scrum around Fernando Alonso. So many media here, so many interested in his story, and amazing to see.
Yeah, it's tough to manage when it comes to Fernando Alonso and the media. We chatted to Mario de Souza a little earlier, who is the official media manager for Fernando. But, I mean, he's got half an hour to chat to the press, so they all want to get their little bit of the two-time F1 world champion. I mean, you've even got a guy standing behind him filming the back of his head.
No, there's a lot of journalists who now use their phones as recording devices. Problem is, you've got a lot of journalists there also with cameras, and the cameras and the photographers are shooting the background of other journalists. So in this kind of situation where you don't have a backdrop and this kind of thing, you know, the cameramen and the people who are trying to make TV get frustrated by that, because they don't want somebody on their phone in the back of shot. But Fernando gives us a certain amount of time, therefore we have to have this group situation rather than individual interviews, otherwise he'd be here all day.
What have you made of Riyadh so far? Beautiful, eh?
Amazing place. A friend of mine who came here for Formula E said, it's great on the surface, but once you start walking around, you realise it's not that great. But certainly on the surface from our hotel, it looks so spectacular. These amazing new buildings, and everything does feel quite new. Did you know that we are standing inside the Formula E paddock?
No, I had no idea. Tell us more.
Yeah, so the bivouac is actually in the pit complex of Formula E, but of course Formula E being a temporary circuit, a temporary structure, a temporary championship moving from place to place, a bit like we do, there is no sign at all of Formula E here, apart from as you drive in you can see the grid hatchings for the start of the race, and then you can kind of work out, okay, that must be where the pit lane is, therefore that must be where the pit boxes were, this is therefore the paddock.
How do you see the second half of Dakar going, especially for Toyota Gazoo Racing?
Yeah, I just chatting to Nasser a bit earlier, and I'm just hoping from a Toyota perspective that it is more sandy. He needs, and we need, four-wheel drive to excel through the sandy dunes, not the camel grass, because the camel grass, the minis with their bigger suspension, with their bigger wheels, can ride over that so much easier than we can. We're limited to 250 millimetres of suspension, and therefore we don't have the same ability to go flat out over those camel grass. Oh, just ask Bernard Ten Brinker. There's some footage on YouTube of him being bounced all over the place. But I think there's more sand, more dunes. Certainly those two marathon stages, empty quarter, NASA particularly highlighting tomorrow being 570 kilometres of stage action. He said you can't keep that rhythm, can't do the rhythm that they've been doing the last couple of days because you will have an accident. So let's see. NASA starts in a good position tomorrow. He starts in third on the road behind both the minis. Therefore, he should be able to catch them. And by catching them, he should be able to take 3 minutes out of Sainz and six out of Peterhans.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive rivalry as stage seven begins. And I'm going to carry on walking around the bivouac. Thanks so much, Ben. We'll be catching up a little later. I'm going to join in here with Alex Harrow. Danny Chen, I'm interrupting you now as the big boss goes off. Alex, geez, I know I keep on saying it to everyone. It's a rest day of sorts because you're not driving, but you're still pretty busy.
Yeah, today I will be busy in 1 hour when I get the roadbook again. I'm prepared the next day.
And how have you enjoyed being involved with the Toyota Gazoo Racing outfit? It's your first year with them at the Dakar. You've got a former winner in Janiel De Villiers sitting next to you. What's it been like?
It's like a dream. It's to be in a factory team with these teammates and with Janiel. Winner Dakar also for me it's like a dream. I arrived at the top, and now I would like to be there for a long time.
And tell us a bit about your background for those that don't know the Alex Harrow story. I mean, how did you get to being where you are today?
I started with a friend helping him like a mechanic. Then he started in a rallies. Also, I was like a mechanic, and then I jumped in the co-drive seat because he has a lot of confidence with me, and there start my story. I start in rallies. I do until 2014 rallies. I won the Super 2000 Championship, is the second category of the WRC, and then I have the opportunity to come to Dakar, and it's a really adventure. It's a really big race. For me, it's the most important race, and I'm really happy to be here.
No question that the relationship between a driver and a navigator must be strong, especially when it comes to the Dakar. 2 weeks of intense driving as you take on the dunes, the terrain, the works. What's the relationship been like with you and Janiel? Any testy moments during the course of the first week, or has it gone swimmingly?
For the moment, we are really nice and okay. We don't have any big moments, so I'm really happy because he's putting me really easy. I think that I'm easy. And we have a really good relation inside of the car and outside. And I hope that will be like that for a long time.
As I'm speaking to you, we've got a massive media scrum surrounding a compatriot of yours in Fernando Alonso. What's it like having him on board in the Toyota Gazoo Racing stable?
Okay, for me, it's a really pleasure. And like I tell you, a dream, no, to have Fernando here. It's the big history name from Spain, and to be with him together, it's like a dream. And also we have the opportunity to have a lot of media here with us and show to the world what is the Dakar and what is the level of the Dakar, and also say congratulations to him because he's doing a really good race.
Excellent. Alex, it's a pleasure chatting to you. Enjoy your so-called day off.
Thank you.
Alex Harrow, a brilliant man when it comes to navigating. Glenn Hall, who was absolutely brilliant a couple of days ago on this podcast. And I tell you what, the listenership went through the roof. Thank you very much for boosting our listeners by the thousands.
My pleasure. And I don't know why, but I'm just telling it how it is. That's all. What do you want to know today?
Let's talk about the rest day, because I know we've chatted about it on camera, but it's not really a rest day.
No, not at all. The drivers get the rest. Probably out of the day, should we say, 30% of them is work, 70% is rest, and just switching off and recharging. For us, the crews, it's a big day. For me, it's really stressful. You know, this morning we had many little issues, nothing that's going to stop the car, but just things that we have to resolve and find out about, you know, and that causes a lot of stress. Even the fact that, you know, Atty comes to me and says, oh, we've only got 40 tires left. What? You know, and you gotta, you know, there was suddenly another 40 appear and we've got 80. So, and after all the punctures, suddenly you get scared and you have to just go and adapt it.
You must be happy that 1 week's done and dusted. Not quite at the front of the race. Of course, that's a position you'd like to be in. But Nasser Al-Attiyah are certainly challenging up front alongside Mathieu. But you must be very chuffed the fact that all four Hilux made it back to the bivouac safe and sound pretty early yesterday at the end of stage six. And there hasn't really been that much work needed to be done on them.
Well, obviously we got the routine maintenance work that we do and we got planned in to make sure we stay reliable. But yeah, the cars have run absolutely perfectly all week. We've had no issues that have actually slowed the drivers down, and that's our job. That's the target. For the race, I just heard some really disappointing news yesterday, earlier this morning, sorry. Tomorrow's stage is very much the same as yesterday's stage, flat out. That's just what I don't want to hear. You know, we're suffering with a top speed with a restrictor. It sounds like a broken record for me. But it's incredibly disappointing in a way. We've got a great car, all these drivers, and they're all saying we just don't have enough power under the regulations to keep up with the mini buggies. So that hurts.
Yeah, that's the start of the second week of Dakar, Stage 7. How do you see the rest of the week playing out? We've got the unknown quarter coming up.
Yeah, the empty quarter, as it's called, or unknown.
No, empty, you got it right, I was wrong.
Oh, thank you, that's really good. So, this we're waiting for, but tomorrow's stage is longest, 550Ks with a lot of flat-out stuff. The stage the next day has got a 40-kilometre straight to get to another area. So we just want something technical that the drivers can get their teeth into and we can, you know, use the car to its maximum. So right now I'm upbeat about the race. We're here with all four cars, but I want to be fighting one-on-one with the lead and not have to worry about the drivers saying, you know, we're short on power for the top speed and all we need is 1 mil on the restrictor. Would have been 4 minutes yesterday, give you an idea. That would take the pressure right off and we'd be in the race. But we can't whinge about that now. We've got to get on and do the absolute best job. We're taking a little bit of a development risk. We're changing the aero on Bernard's car tomorrow. We're taking that we've got so much cooling in reserve for the cars. It's quite cool here in Saudi with 20-25 degrees, so we've got a lot of reserve. We're going to do a test, fingers crossed, for tomorrow and see if we can steal some top speed at the expense of cooling. So Bernard's, you know, up for the job.
I'm about to go and catch the end of this press conference, but geez, how well has this man been racing, Fernando?
Derek, Fernando's been incredible. Honestly, I don't know if I said it on the podcast the other day. I was at the end of the stage at three, and, you know, when he got that fifth position, it was like him winning Monaco. Honestly, he gave me a thumbs up in the car afterwards, a really good hug. You could feel the emotion. He's been great. For the last 2 months, I thought that he was able to do a top five. Every single test, he has just excelled. And look at that yesterday. I mean, I've just looked at some data late last night. The guy's so brave. I mean, he is really not scared of anything. And Mark did a great job. So, yeah, he's just consuming everybody and really showing his skill.
Glenn, well done. First week done and dusted. Good luck for the second.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks very much, Glenn Hall. Let's chuck our microphone in here and let's see what Fernando has to say.
He knows where
the pace is a little bit too much or too over the limit, so he tell me to slow down a little bit. Sometimes it's the opposite. This place maybe accepts a little bit more pace, so put the throttle on, and you know, I try to follow always his rhythm and his advices.
Excellent. And do you think you've enjoyed it enough that we're going to see you back here for a few years?
Let's see. I think obviously this is the first approach. My first intention or goal this Dakar was to see how competitive and how can myself adapt to rally after being adapting to oval racing and to endurance racing and different disciplines. And honestly, that tick in the box probably is done. You know, yesterday, for example, being after 470 kilometers, 4 minutes away from Nasser, it was something unthinkable for me 7 months ago, because I never touched a rally car. So I'm very happy with the performance, very happy with the pace. So now, yeah, the temptation is maybe to come back one day in Dakar for more chances to win one day.
Good luck.
Going into the second week, what do you expect from the big desert, and what's a big target?
Well, I expect tough races, tough stages now. I think the open desert is going to be challenging for the dunes. Some of the dunes in day 10 and stage 11 will be quite difficult to go through. So, you know, I think many things and a lot of drama still to come, you know, in the race, not only for myself, but also for the race and for the favorites. So, you know, in my case, obviously I've been top five one day, top six another one. So if I can go a little bit better than that and hopefully reach top four or top three in one of the stages, that will be a dream come true.
And previously you said you're thinking about coming back to Formula One. What must change in 2021, and how big is the chance right now?
Well, I think in 2020 I didn't miss much F1 because I was concentrating in the World Endurance Championship, in Daytona, in Le Mans, in the Dakar preparation. So that was a very intense 2019 for me. 2020 is going to be a little bit more relaxed, only concentrating on the Indy 500 in May. So after that, you know, I have to think what I do in 2021. And Formula One will be in the table because, you know, that's my love for Formula One. It will be always there.
What will the Triple Crown mean to you if you win it?
Well, I think that will be part of the history of the motorsport, so it will mean a lot.
What went through your mind during the second stage when you had your mechanical problem? Like, were you thinking, what am I doing here?
No, I mean, first thoughts were hoping that the rally was not over. You know, I didn't want to have a retirement.
Okay, that was Fernando. We're just joining Nasser Latia now, who has been sensational again, looking to defend his crown. Nasser, it's a rest day, but not really.
No, it's a rest day, and we are here, you know, to share everything, you know, with the teams, and for next week. This will be tough, and now we are in second position overall. Yes, we need to really doing a good job for second week, and at least we have one day rest, yes, to enjoy and to visit some friend.
I just chatted to Glenn now, and he said he's very disappointed because he just heard that stage 7 is going to be very much like stage 6. What does that make you feel like, the start of the second week of Dakar?
I don't care, you know. It's yesterday with puncture, and we lose only 1 minute 40 from Carlos, you know. It mean we lose like in 400 kilometer something, you know, we lose 20 seconds from him. But okay, tomorrow it's another day, another weekend, you know, from Dakar, and we'll see.
Are you enjoying Saudi Arabia?
Yes, it's really nice, interesting country, and also nice Dakar here.
Enjoy your day off.
Thank you.
Can we?
Thank you very much to Nasser Al-Attiyah. I'm going to move over to his co-driver, Mathieu Baumel. He's chatting to Alex right now, but I'm going to jump in and interrupt. Sorry, Alex.
Yes.
Chatted to you, Nana. Apologies. I'll let you have him back in a few seconds. Mathieu, without a doubt, one of the most popular faces back home in South Africa. Who wants to jump in here?
I want to jump in.
Okay, do you want to do what? Okay, Mathieu, How are you enjoying it over here? It's been a sensational first week.
Yeah, exactly. This is the most beautiful Dakar from long time. The beautiful scenery and landscape, nice roadbook, nice piste, a good fight with the top cars, and we enjoy a lot with Nasser.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, what was it like coming into this event as the defending champion? So you've won it twice before, and yeah, I mean, last year you did it, and you cruised to victory, you and Nasser. The first win for Toyota Gazoo Racing. Did it feel like you had an arrow on your back when you arrived in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, sure. You discover a new country, a new piste, a new regulation. Everything is new. A lot of things are new. And we knew before the start that it will be difficult. But we were expecting more dunes and tricky crossing sandy piste and dunes. And at least now first week was really beautiful, but not enough difficult in terms of crossing dunes. And we are a little bit on the back now, still good. Huh? We are second at 7 minutes 44. But it looks like that this year will be a little bit more difficult for us.
One of the main talking points ahead of this year's Dakar was the road book and the fact that not every day you'd be getting it the night before each stage. It changed a bit somewhat. What has that been like? And just talk us through the process.
So it's first is a really good thing because when you always do the same thing every year, the same place, it makes the thing a little bit boring. And now with the new rules, everything changed. So the biggest difference is that we cannot prepare the map at the night before. So it means you don't know where you will go and what you will cross the next day. And it makes our job much more difficult during the stage because you need to think more fast, to interpret the road book and to give the information to your diver. And but during the stage, so I mean the diver, you know, Nasser is pushing all the time and you need to really think two times more fast than always to keep the good piste. So it makes the thing more a little bit more stress, but more interesting.
Interesting though, I chatted to Tom Kalsul about this, and he loved the fact that you guys weren't getting the road book the night before, because he said the drivers get home, well, after the stage, and they get to put their feet up where the navigators have to study the road book. It's not the case now because you don't have a road book to study, and he loves it. Now he can just go straight to sleep. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, exactly the same. It's really good good thing that David Castera make this year. All the team did a very good job about the quality of the road book, and it's give us more confidence of what you give to your diver. I mean, all the danger place, all the changing caps, all the information you can have on the road book, and it makes our life more easy. So for sure, I vote for the road book in the morning. We got it four times in the first week. We'll have it only two times in the second week, but in the future we will get every morning, and it's much better.
How do you see the second week of Dakar playing out in Saudi Arabia?
Should be more dunes, so I like that, and Nasser like that also. We know that we can make the difference when it's a little bit difficult on crossing dunes compared to the buggy. So we hope to have more dunes, but I don't know really if it will be every day. But it looks like 3 days will be like that, and we need to push these 3 days to keep our advantage.
Mathieu, always a pleasure chatting to you. Enjoy the afternoon, and we'll see you back in the saddle tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the support.
And I'm going to pass you over now to Ben and Ray, who's going to do the TV interview now. Cheers. Who else do we have? Let's maybe get a final word here from Danny Chen. Danny, he joined us last night. He's chatting to Voldy, who was also joining us last night. Geez, quite an interesting day watching the media in action and the mechanics getting on the cars.
Yeah, well, the media thing, not my first time, not my first rodeo. I have to say, I was standing here waiting for the drivers to arrive. And seriously, there was no one around me. It was completely bare. And then 5 seconds after Fernando showed up, they popped out of the ground. They fell from the sky. I have no clue, but there were like 30 people next to me. No idea. But watching the mechanics work has been fun. It's amazing. I mean, they're just continuously working. They haven't stopped since I've been here. And I know they started way earlier this morning. Amazing stuff. These guys really are quite something.
Well, I think on that note, I'm going to go and look for a mechanic and get the final words before we wrap up the day. Thank you so much, Danny. I know your job is extremely busy as well. Let's have a look and see where we can find our man, Willem, who's the chief mechanic. Here he is right here. He's surrounded by a plethora of men, but I'm going to ask him to break away. What's he riding over there? Mackie?
Yes.
Tell us about today's race day and how busy have you guys been?
Well, we've been busy since 7 o'clock this morning, flat out. Busy putting all the parts back. We stripped last night. We inspected all the parts and we've changed now to some new parts because of the mileage. No mechanical issues. But it's just a mileage related so that you still have the parts as a backup and the new parts are going on the car. But the other problem is with the new parts, you've got to make sure that they're 100% right as well, because I mean, we've been running the whole Dakar up to now with the parts, which is perfect. Now you're putting new parts on and you have to hope for the best on that.
Tell us how the system works here in the bivouac for Toyota Gazoo Racing. You've got four Hiluxes that come in and you've got four teams or four head mechanics that head up each car.
Yeah, we've got four teams for the cars, four mechanics per car, plus an engineer per car. So the engineers sit down with the mechanics, we decide, we talk to the drivers, and we decide what we're going to do with the cars and plan ahead. I mean, you have to work meticulously. You know, you can't just change stuff left, right, and center, and you've got to make sure all the guys know exactly what they're doing.
And is there an internal competition between you guys to get which car past the finish line first?
Yes, there's always a competition in a team, and that's what makes the team so great. If there's no competition, what's the use of being here? You know, it's all the rivalry between the mechanics.
What was the toughest part of week one with regards to the cars?
Regards to the cars, nothing. I mean, NASA brought the car back with no problems whatsoever every day. We had a few gearbox issues, just checking whatever, you know, notchiness in the gearbox, but it's all been perfect, you know. I think all the drivers are so on their nerves and pushing hard that they want to make sure everything is right.
So you are in charge of NASA's car. What's it like having such a responsibility over the defending champion's car at the Dakar?
Look, it's a big responsibility and a phenomenal privilege to work on his car. You know, he's classified one of the best drivers in the world in rally race. So to work on his car and him having the confidence in his mechanic and the crew is brilliant, you know, and you're fighting up against the best of the best.
And what's it like working with him? Does he give you a lot of feedback once he gets back to the bivouac?
Yeah, he's straightforward. He tells you straight what he wants and he will tell you the car's great or the driver's a little bit slow or tired or whatever. But yeah, he gives great feedback and he wants to make sure he will do his job right as long as I do my job right. So it's the team is very close.
Mackie, I'll let you get back to business. Quickly, I meant to ask, 2 days ago, it snowed yesterday in Neom, a venue we were at 2 days ago. What if it snowed while we were there? Were you guys prepared for the snow? I mean, in the past, we've always been in sand, desert, extreme heat. This is a different ballgame in Saudi.
I think that's the biggest challenge in the team at this moment. We are not... we haven't got enough thermal wear and clothing to challenge all the cold. I mean, we've used to be 43 to 47 degrees in the desert. Now you come here and it's 4 degrees. And the guys, you know, we're not prepared for that, you know. That's not Dakar. Dakar is always about heat. And that's it. You hardly drink water. I think the organizer here is saving a lot on water this year.
Best of luck for the second week of Dakar.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thank you very much, Mackie, Chief Mechanic for Toyota Gazoo Racing. Heads up Nasser Al-Attiyah's car. What a responsibility he has on his shoulders. I think let's wrap things up with a little chat with Hanbal as he tries to walk past me. Hannes has been extremely busy today because we've been driving around in our Toyota Fortuner the length and breadth of Saudi Arabia. And yeah, needless to say, we have dirtied it quite a bit, especially the inside. It's been the front driver and passenger seats that are the worst. The area where Ray and I sit, it's clean as a whistle. But yeah, you just spent the large part of this morning cleaning it and did a bloody good job.
Well, they say a clean car drives nicer than a dirty car, and we've still got a hell of a long way to go. I know we're halfway, but I think distance-wise, we've got about 60% of the distance still to cover. So we're not actually halfway yet. And yeah, it's just nice to start the long haul with a clean-ish car. It's not clean by any means, but it's okay.
Thank you very much for that. And we were chatting last night, Valdo and I, about just how big Saudi Arabia is, a lot bigger than South Africa. And you've driven on every continent, probably, in many, many countries. It's been a dream driving here.
It's lovely once you leave the cities. The cities are a bit confusing, to be honest. I mean, they're massive cities with the weirdest traffic system where you have to go in the wrong direction for 5 kilometers before you're allowed to make a U-turn to come back. So that's a bit stressful. But once we leave the cities and we're out on the open road, it's absolutely stunning. We can do 130 kilometers an hour. open roads. Okay, there are some guys that drive like kamikaze pilots, but nothing to worry about too much. And yeah, it's quite easy to cover 600-700 kilometers a day, much easier than it was in South America, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy the afternoon now. We're pretty much wrapping up, yeah, Hanbal?
Well, I've got an ice-cold, alcohol-free beer waiting. I can't wait, not. But yeah, we do have the afternoon fairly at leisure, so I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Hannes Visser. I'll be joining you in the car shortly as we say our goodbyes at the Bivouac for this, the rest day episode of the podcast before we head into stage 7 of the 2020 Dakar Rally. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you after stage 7. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Inside the Game, brought to you by Raider Media.